Hey, everyone. I'd like to welcome everybody to the regular meeting of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen on Thursday, August 14th, 2025 at 7 p.m. Could we please stand for the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Mr. Newberg?
Here.
Ms. Pettinici?
Here.
Ms. Vidomsky?
Here.
Ms. Berrios Perez?
Here.
Mr. Kurtica?
Present.
Mr. Sill? Mr. Chevarella?
Here.
Ms. Belchoni Smith?
Here.
Mr. Hyder?
Here.
Okay, the record should reflect you have 8 members present, so you have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Number 4, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. Mr. President, do you have anything?
No, I don't.
All right, I do not either, so we're all set there. Number 5, public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak? Come on up, state your name and address for the record. Watch that computer.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jim Gilday. I live on 11 Academy Hill Road, and chairman of the Board of Education, and I'm also a member of the Capital Planning Commission. I know here this evening, I believe item 8.2, you're going to vote on the capital plan. I just wanted to give you an update from my perspective as a member of the Capital Planning Commission. First, we set out over the course of about a year to create both the short-term plan, which we've submitted to you for 24-25 that you've approved, as well as a long-term plan. Our hope had been to look at fire and safety equipment and the infrastructure in the city of Derby and move forward a comprehensive plan. I think we did so with an eye towards fiscal responsibility. We did so, for instance, to give you one perfect example, a piece of equipment in 2025 that cost $1.5 million was $750,000 5 years ago. So we were very cognizant of future money and trying to be fiscally responsible and address our needs here in a responsible way. We also wanted to certainly focus on fire and safety, and we thought that ultimately the plan that we move forward replaces 3 30-year-old pieces of equipment. So I really think that we take care of what we need to for this generation and future generations, and that coupled with the LOSIP funds and the fire and the police vehicles that are being replaced certainly sets this city out and protects our fire and safety responders and takes care of the equipment that we have. The vote was unanimous. It was a unanimous vote of the Capital Planning Commission. I urge you to pass that. I urge you to pass that not only for all of our fire and safety employees who every single day put their life on at risk, but also because it's truly the most fiscally responsible plan that we could have advanced, because again, the cost of this equipment will only increase in time. So thank you for your service, and it was a pleasure being on the Capital Planning Commission and to be able to forward you our recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilday.
Mr. Mayor, the record should reflect that Mr. Sill entered the meeting as we finished roll call, so he's been
here. Welcome aboard, Ronnie. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Anybody else from the public like to speak? Third and final time, anybody else from the public like to speak? Hearing none, public portion is now closed. Number 6.1, minutes, approval of minutes, no action. 6.2, refund of taxes. Move to approve monthly tax refunds in the amount of $8,232.72, dated August 12th, 2025. Do I have a motion?
So move, Ron.
Made by Ron. Is there a second?
Second, Sarah.
Second, George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
Motion carries. 6.3, appointments to boards and commissions. So at this time, we'll do 6.3.2, which is a continued public hearing and presentation of the Connecticut Department of Transportation Local Transportation Capital Improvements Program, LOTSIP. Project L036-0002, Division Street and Seymour Avenue Safety Improvements, continued from July 30th, 2025 meeting. So at this time, I will open up the public hearing.
Mark, if I could share screen. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, board, for having us this evening. My name is Jeff Hopper, and I'm here with Mike Bauer. We're both from Luke's Consulting Engineers, and we're the design firm for Division Street and Seymour Avenue safety improvements. There we go. All right, I'm just going to run through the PowerPoint. It will be displayed up here for everyone to see. Again, this is the meeting our public hearing requirement for lots at Project L036-0002, Division Street and Seymour Avenue safety improvements. You'd hide it if you let you go. There we go. Sorry about that. This project was initiated by the City of Derby and Griffin Hospital, identifying the project needs and worked the city and Griffin worked with NVCOG to secure state funding through the Local Transportation Capital Improvements Program, LOTSIP. This project focuses on a complete streets design to provide accessible routes for all users. The project consists of three areas. It's Division Street. I'll try and show you. It's Division Street from Westfield Avenue to, where are we, Chatfield? And then Seymour Avenue from Division Street down to Spring Street, and then the intersection of Maple Avenue intersection with Division Street. Needs for improvement, you can see in these pictures some deteriorating roadway, non-ADA compliant sidewalks. There are utility poles that prevent us from having sort of the necessary sidewalk width to allow everyone to use it. In the lower left photo, you can see deteriorating sidewalk on Seymour Avenue. And then the upper right also deteriorating sidewalk on Seymour. There's inadequate pedestrian crossings within the project limits and deteriorating curbs and sidewalks, and as well as a challenging intersection at Silver Hill Road. I'm going to pass it over to Mike, and he can tell you a little bit about the improvements we're proposing for the individual sections.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Mike Bauer. I'm one of the lead designers on this project. And what you're looking at here is just a typical section of the proposed improvements of Division Street. It's just basically sidewalks on both sides, concrete curbing, and the typical crown. Also shown here, I wanted to call your attention to this cross, this detail of a rectangular rapid flashing beacon, which is RRFB for short. And this is a user-activated pedestrian crossing signal for crossings, and you know, it's push button activated, and this would be installed on all three locations of this project. So the first site is Division Street from Silver Hill Road intersection over to Westfield Avenue. And this is the major part of this project. So Division Street will be fully reconstructed starting at Silver Hill Road, where the intersection will be realigned. Silver Hill Road will be teed off with Division Street to give better sight lines. And also there will be a RRFB installed across Division Street to allow pedestrian safe crossing. Another RRFB is proposed at the intersection of Emmett and Spruce Lane. This would give pedestrians access across Division Street there as well. So this will be fully reconstructed, and the three-way kind of island intersection that you have at Silver Hill Road will be redesigned. So that'll eliminate that kind of redundant road that passes through there. And there'll be some landscaping and some lighting features, as well as some drainage improvements at this section. So the next section is Seymour Avenue. This is directly adjacent to the Griffin Hospital property. Seymour Avenue will be milled and repaved, and some RFB installations here. The biggest thing here is the improvement to the sidewalks on both sides of the road. In some places, they're just non-existent and completely deteriorated. You'll see that there's some utility poles that are really right adjacent to the road. It's not very safe. So under our proposed changes, you'll have a nice boxed out utility strip between the sidewalk and the roadway. This will improve roadway safety as well as pedestrian access. The third section here is the Maple Street intersection with Division. And this year, we're looking to improve sight lines, perhaps adding an RFB here as well. This intersection is going to be investigated for any improvements that we might be able to come up with, besides the resurfacing that will happen here. And with that, I will pass it back to Jeff, who will have some more information for you. Thanks.
Thank you. Proposed funding. So you can see here the total costs for Division Street, Seymour Avenue, and Maple Ave intersection total $3,863,000. That total sum is funded by the LOTSIP grant, and so the construction will be covered by that state funding. The design fees for Luke's are $250,000, and those fees were split $125,000 by Derby and $125,000 by a donation from Griffin Hospital. The project has the support of NVCOG and has received a commitment to fund letter from DOT. Proposed schedule is completing final design, this fall, and then going to a bid phase over the winter of 2025 with construction planned for spring and summer of 2026. Project should take a single construction year. And just wanted to note, investing in sidewalk reconstruction and ped crossings is crucial for fostering safer communities and promoting active lifestyles. By prioritizing this project's upgrades, we prioritize the well-being and connectivity of your residents, making your neighborhoods more livable and inclusive for everyone. We have a set of the project plans available for public review or for review by anyone on the board. I think it's here on the side table, but normally it lives in the Office of Economic Development in Roger's office here at City Hall. And we have a set online at the website listed here. I believe the presentation, Mark, will be placed on the website so folks can find that information. Our next step is to complete the public information portion, which this meeting should serve as. And then we have to coordinate with utilities, complete our final design, and then needing review and approval by NVCOG and DOT, and then hopefully advertising this fall for construction next year. And that is everything we have for the project. Thank you so much for your time. If anyone has any questions, we can address those.
So last month we talked about how much a good portion of the sidewalks is going to be within the city of Ansonia, and how Derby paid $125,000, Griffin's paid $125,000, and it's my understanding that a letter was sent to Ansonia City Hall, and as of earlier this week, we hadn't received a response. Have we received a response as of this meeting?
There's a letter from the mayor to the mayor of Ansonia and to his corporation council, asking for a meeting to discuss this and one other project, and they have not responded. I asked the mayor if he wanted me to send a second letter. He said no. So we've attempted to make contact with them. I will say this, that the time to have argued this out would have been at the time that this was originally proposed. It was up to the prior administration to make those kinds of conversations, certainly not the engineers or the designers.
This was the question was posed to the previous administration, and it fell on deaf ears, and nothing got done. So I'm not surprised that Cassetti's not responding, because it doesn't benefit him to pay his. Yeah, he's having a rough go. So thank you for your effort.
Any other questions? Anybody from the public like to speak? You can come up to the podium. Huh? State your name and address for us, please.
Thomas Leonard, 173 Hawthorne Avenue, Derby, Connecticut. I'm speaking as a member of the Derby Police Commission Local Traffic Authority. We have not seen this plan come before our board. I don't know what the disconnect is, but I had spoken to Commissioner DeGennaro this morning, who's the chair of our police commission, and we have not seen this to pass through the local traffic authority at all. So I think that's something that needs to be done before anything else happens. So just my opinions, but thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Just if I may, we're at a semi-final design stage right now. So probably following meetings with utility companies, the plans and project will be submitted to local traffic authority for review.
Okay. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Anybody else?
Mark, our following town clerk. So what are the next steps on this project?
Next steps are to meet with utility companies to review the proposed changes. Then we would submit that at that point to the local traffic authority for any of the RRFBs that we're proposing. Then we would have to submit it to NVCOG and DOT for review and approval prior to putting out an RFB.
Is there any approval from the city here, or it's just the public hearing?
I think this is just serving as a public hearing. That's my understanding.
That's true. The permission for the project was given by the prior administration.
Okay, so then, I mean, I just want to reiterate my point, my comments that I raised the last time, that this is a large benefit to the hospital and to the city of Ansonia. It benefits them. The hospital primarily. Don't forget, the replacement of sidewalks is a responsibility of the property owner. And Division Street is in Derby and Ansonia. A donation of $125,000 to get $3.8 million in funding.
Sometimes
as public officials representing the public, the people that we serve, sometimes you have to represent and stand up and say, hey, you know, regardless of somebody else representing the city didn't do their job before, doesn't mean that we shouldn't make our point known, albeit it's not an engineering issue, but we need to stand up and represent and protect the city's interest. So, I mean, this is a major issue. Gift back to the hospital. So, I mean, it's, you know, they do great work, but it's also the issue of the equity as it relates to the city of Ansonia. And even if I said last time and since that time, I would encourage both mayors to approach the hospital to encourage them to support this project, because they are the main beneficiaries of it. And mainly those sidewalks are needed because they don't have enough parking on the campus of the hospital around all those houses in George Kurtica's neighborhood, in the neighborhood of people that live around there that are not on the tax rolls anymore. And this is a great program. I mean, I think it's a great program, and I think it's a great thing to do to improve the streetscapes, the safety, the sidewalks, the lighting, and all of the above. So, but I think that we need to fight and make our voice heard to represent our taxpayers and our citizens with whoever the constituents are or the beneficiaries of this project. And it's, you know, it's both the Ansonian Derby and the hospital. And I would encourage this board and the city as part of this public hearing to say, yes, this LOTSIP program is something that we should take advantage of. We have the road bond money that we have that was approved by referendum. And, you know, I would encourage to use some of that money for design purposes to enact the project that will take the where this Route 34 project ends on Elizabeth Street and 3rd Street and extend that all the way up Seymour Avenue and Atwater Avenue, because it would be in the city's best interest to improve the safety of the sidewalks. Anybody that walks those sidewalks, and I do walk once in a while, believe it or not, it's important, and it's safety and it's lighting, and it's also the perception of improving the quality of life in our city. So I just call upon those that can and should to represent because the predecessors did not, and it's certainly $125,000 could go a long way in the city of Derby. So those are my comments for this public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public like to speak?
So as the second ward aldermen, which this area does cover, you know, we've been in constant turmoil with the hospital parking situation since I've been up there, as the city clerk has mentioned that. But I also concur that the next funding that our economic development person should go after to see if we have funding to go from 3rd Street up to Seymour Avenue. The sidewalks are, some of them, they're not even there. There's shrubs and everything. So it goes by the public library, and it goes by 2 elementary schools. People walk up there. The Connecticut Transit Bus 255 route goes up that way. There's no, like, bus shelters like we have down at this great project we have down here on Main Street. So anything that we could get from the state and through our economic development to apply for a grant so we could have sidewalks that people could walk all the way from downtown up to the hospital. People do walk to the hospital. You know, they don't have vehicles and they can't afford the bus. They do walk up there. So I concur with Mr. Garofalo about anything we could do in that neighborhood would help out. And I think it's a good step that we contact the hospital administration and set up a meeting to discuss future developments in that area. Thank you.
Could I just come in and add a few things? The Connecticut DOT announced it's called the New Complete Streets Design Criteria to improve roadway safety and enhance mobility. And it was caused by, in 2023, the state experienced nearly 1,500 crashes involving pedestrians. And they resulted in 64 fatalities, 180 serious injuries. It was a significant increase compared with 5 years prior. It has doubled the number of pedestrian fatalities. So that's why this program was started, to try to reduce the pedestrian vehicle fatalities. So we were part of this program. Roughly, the state contributes 95% of the total cost. They don't contribute the design cost, which is what we've been talking about. So there is absolutely no reason, George, why we couldn't apply for further ones for other developments addressing the same problem of pedestrian safety.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, You could see, I mean, I was a police officer in this town for a long time, and so as my two Sergeant Leonard and Sergeant Lajeunesse can attest that we've had accidents. We've had people get hit walking across the exit ramps of Route 8 that come off there. You know, I understand through VCOG years ago, there was a thing that they were going to close the ramps once they built new ramps. So I don't know what the design phase is with that. But anything that could help the neighborhood, you see a lot of people walking, bike lanes, you know, You go down in New Haven, I go down to Yale every day, you see the bike lanes, all kind of thing. That's through the state and the city of New Haven and everything. So anything that could help to save our pedestrians and increase the traffic, the bus safety and everything, I'm all for it. And I'm sure my fellow Alderman, Alderman Sill and Alderman Jessica Barrios-Perez also agree on this. So I appreciate the work, and I think this is the first step that this plan should go through. And the second step is that we should meet with the hospital people, you know, us and the city of Ansonia, to, you know, come up with a plan. I mean, they called me the other day, the hospital people, and want to know who's doing the crosswalks. I reached out to our great public works director, Mike Piscinari, and I asked him, well, since Eversource paved that road, should they do the crosswalks? Or should the city do it? The crosswalks haven't been painted. But our street commissioner advised me that even if Eversource didn't pay for the crosswalks, the city would pitch in and do the crosswalk, which I really appreciate. So, like, again, I concur with the Mike Raffaello, our city clerk, that, you know, we should have a meeting with the hospital to, and let them know our concerns, which I'm sure they know. And anything we can do with this project, I appreciate the you two gentlemen coming tonight and explain everything to us. You know, we need to get going on this, on the project. So this is the first step. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public? Third time, anybody else in the public like to speak? Hearing none, I'll need a motion to close the public hearing.
Made by, don't move, Ron.
Second by Ron. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you for all your help. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the board.
Thank you, board.
Okay, 6.3.3, public hearing and presentation on Connecticut Department of Transportation Community Connectivity Grant Program, Project 0170-3513, CT Route 34, Pedestrian Safety Improvements. I'd like to make a motion to open the hearing.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
By George, is there a second? Second by Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public hearing is now open.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Board. It is me again, Jeff Hopper. I am here with Luke's as a representative of Luke's Consulting Engineers. We were a peer reviewer for the next project, which is Project 0170-3513, Connecticut Route 34 Pedestrian Safety Improvements. The City of Derby has received a state grant through the Community Connectivity Grant Program, or CCGP, for pedestrian improvements at two sites. The sites are shown up here on the aerials. The first site is Route 34 Derby Avenue at Bank Street and Gilbert Street, the one up here on your left. And then the second site is Route 34 Derby Avenue at Sodom Lane. Some of the challenges with the Bank Street intersection are that there are no places to cross Route 34, and that intersection has bus stops on each side. And then the Sodom Lane intersection has no safe spaces to cross Sodom Lane between the Lowe's and the Starbucks or the
it's going to be Chase Bank.
Chase Bank. Okay. So we have worked with SLR was the designer, Malone, formerly Malone McBroom, and we worked with Roger to get this project up to the state for review and approval. So some of the improvements that are being proposed for the Bank Street intersection are ADA compliant sidewalks with ramps, new crosswalks and pedestrian walk signals. Ooh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that's going to be expensive.
Yeah, I'll zoom in here. So they're proposing They're proposing new sidewalks with ramps and a three-way crossing, as well as a new median in Route 34. So this will result in a concurrent pedestrian signal phase where there's no current phase there today. And that means that cars exiting Bank Street, the signals for the pedestrian signals for Gilbert Street will be activated when Bank Street has its green light, and the crossing for Route 34 when Gilbert Street and the driveway from the cleaners have their green phase.
So that will have crosswalk lights that go on, or is it affecting the signals for the cars?
That's correct. There's no change to the vehicular signals, but there will be new pedestrian signals at the intersection.
Thank you.
And push buttons. Yeah. Sodom Lane. The improvements include installing ADA compliant sidewalks and ramps, a new crosswalk at Sodom Lane, along with pedestrian traffic signals and push buttons. And this intersection will have an exclusive pedestrian phase. So when a pedestrian pushes the button, it will stop traffic from all approaches, and pedestrians will have be the only persons moving during that phase. Because of a funding gap, this part of the project is being bid as an ad alternate. Because I'm not sure that there will be enough funding to do both intersections as part of what the CCPG grant provided. Proposed funding. You can see the Route 34 at Bank Street is about $180,000 worth of improvements, and Route 34 at Sodom Lane is $63,000 in improvements, for a total of $243,000. The project has funding from the state Community Connectivity Grant of $227,000. So there's about a $15,000 shortfall for both intersections. We're proposing that it be done as an ad alternate. That way, if prices come in favorable to the city, then perhaps both intersections could be performed under the grant amount, or the city could pursue other additional grant money to fill in that gap. The project has been reviewed and approved by Condot District 4 for encroachment permit, and we have received authorization to bid the project from the state. The proposed schedule would be bid phase of fall 2025, with construction occurring next season, and the timeline would be one construction season. The project plans and specs are available for public review on the town's website. There's a paper copy in the Economic Development Office here at City Hall. And any questions or feedback can be sent to us at the email here attached. I will also make the PowerPoint presentation available to Mark to post on the website. And that is pretty much the summary of that project. I don't know if anyone has any questions.
Can you clarify the crosswalk at Sodom Lane? Is it crossing 34 as it does at Bank Street and Gilbert, or is it just crossing Sodom Lane?
There is already existing crosswalks for 34 there. So there's an exclusive ped phase today. It's not shown on their plan here, but there are two crossing both the east and west side of Sodom Lane. So the proposed work is really just introducing a crossing at Sodom Lane.
Okay, thank you.
And one more quick question. As you travel east, this is down at the Gilbert New Haven Avenue, there's a left-hand turn lane, which used to have a green arrow come on for about 25, 30 seconds so people in that lane can drive across. The state took that away and was going to put it back, because now both lights turn green at the same time in both directions, and it's a race to cut in front to take that left-hand turn. Would they be considering that in this project or no?
Not as part of this project. No, this is connectivity only, and there are no proposed changes to the vehicular portion of the signal.
Okay.
To Ron's point, which was the very same point, and while it might not be part of this particular project, I think it is important for us to go back to the state and have these discussions, because it is imperative that we get turn signals at both of these intersections, both at Bank Street and at Sodom Lane. There's a number of accidents, especially at the Sodom Lane intersection, crossing into Orange down there. There is no turn lane. I'm sorry, no turn signal, and I think it would be an important phase in the future if we have those discussions and try to get some fixes for those.
Yes, thank you, Amy.
Hi, this is Sarah. I'm just wondering, has this project been brought before our traffic authority?
That is good. No, I'm hearing no. This project has been around since 2017.
Your microphone, Marcus, microphone's off, I think, the light's on.
Yeah. The answer to that is no. The project has not gone to the local traffic authority. The project has been around since 2017, and so we're kind of recovering it and trying to bring it up to present. So following this meeting tomorrow, we will be sending a set of the plans over to the local traffic authority for Derby.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions? Anybody from the public like to speak? Anybody from the public like to speak?
I'm Mark Arfalo, 95 Academy Hill Road, daily traveler of the intersection at Bank Street and Gilbert Street. This thing's been laying around for since before the last administration. So thank you for advancing this, Mayor. Sorely needed. But I would encourage in the design and discussion with the state, it's an extremely dangerous, dangerous, dangerous intersection. The timing of the lights, the cycles, so New Haven Avenue, then it switches to Bank Street, then after Bank Street is Gilbert Street. The people who travel Route 34 do not stop at that light. When it turns red, there's like four or five cars that go through it. And they don't meander through it. They're going for it. So it is it's extreme. You cannot proceed when the light turns green at Bank or even at their sensors. So if there's nobody at Bank Street, then it goes right to Gilbert Street. But you cannot proceed without extreme caution to get through that intersection, because people go through it. It's dangerous. It's a miracle there hasn't been tragedy there. So if in that plant, you know, at least in the discussion, because the timing of the light needs to be changed. There needs to be more of a delay from when the light turns red on New Haven Avenue to when those lights cycle at a minimum, because it is extremely dangerous. And the crosswalks are certainly needed for the people that cross from Crystal Cleaners to, or, you know, that side, the south side to the north side, because now it's like people are walking all over the place. It's crazy. So dangerous. So I encourage that. And I figure on this one, we'll leave Griffin Hospital and Sonia alone on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Garfalo. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else from the public?
No, just wait. Make one comment. As was suggested, this was actually first presented and approved in 2018. And we've applied for a similar grant for putting lighting, solar lighting around the Greenway. It's also called a CCGP grant. And we got the feedback from the state that you cannot have that grant even considered to be eligible until the existing outstanding grant has been addressed. So that's why we've addressed this, to bring it back in, to get it processed, and then that will make us eligible. And we've been told that the other grant now is being considered.
Thank you.
Very good.
Anybody else in the public? Anybody else in the public? Third and final time. Anybody else? Hearing none. Need a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Made by Robin, second by George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Board. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your due diligence.
Okay. Seven, committee reports and recommendations. There's no action for all three. Number 8.1, 2024-25 capital plan, final revision. Move to adopt final revised 24-25 capital plan as recommended by the Capital Planning Commission on July 28, 2025.
So move, Ron.
Second, Sarah.
Motion made by Ron, second by Sarah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.2, capital planning bond referendum, November 4, 2025, in the amount of $6,500,000. Move to approve a bond referendum on November 4, 2025 for the list of capital expenditures recommended by the Capital Planning Commission on July 28, 2025, in the amount of $6,500,000.
Do I have a motion?
Ron. By Ron. Second. Second, Rob. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Sarah.
Sarah, are you opposed or are you aye?
I'm opposed.
Opposed, okay. Okay, motion still carries. Okay. 8.3, Derby Public Library, request for to dispose of obsolete equipment. Move to approve the disposal of obsolete, I can't, my glasses are shot. I need new ones. Obsolete equipment at the Derby Public Library as recommended by the Derby Public Library Board of Directors and Staff. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Amy.
Made by Amy, is there a second?
Second.
Robin, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Mayor, sorry. That I just want to just make sure the record's clear. That's for the letter dated July 22nd, 2025. That's in your packet. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's just so that.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry.
Okay. Jack. Marianne, you're all set?
Jack.
All right. Thank you.
Jack.
Go on. 8.4, Derby Green commemorative plaques placement. Mr. Walsh, want to come on up?
Jack Walsh, 31
Street.
Display.
Hold on one second.
I want to sneak in a comment since you talked about pedestrian safety. Most of you probably haven't heard, but Connecticut DOT won an award for the bridge for the pedestrian and cyclists. Improvements that were made on the bridge that was just announced today. So, pretty good news for Derby. So, getting back to this project, we talked about this started 2 years ago about putting plaques throughout the city on buildings or whatnot, recognizing important persons, places, or things that happened in the city's history. At the time, we said we thought we could do 25 to 30. And I'm pleased to tell you, as of today, we've got 28 ordered and paid for, 27 already delivered, most of them already installed, and we have commitments for two more that'll take place in the next few months. And of that total, that would be 30. The city only paid for 10 of them. 20 of them were purchased privately. So it was a pretty good deal for the city. But we've got, and I want to praise the Public Works, because Public Works did the install of almost all the plaques. They did a great job. Thanks, Mike. But we have two plaques that are for the green. And originally we thought we'd just put them, embed them in the sidewalk. But in talking to Public Works, they didn't think that was a good idea. So we've been looking for alternatives, especially this one. This is for the plaque for the war, the rebellion. More commonly called Civil War, but it was the War of the Rebellion when they did it. We went to look at the sidewalk, and it just doesn't fit. It's not a good fit. So thanks to Dominic Thomas and Tom Haynes. Tom Haynes has agreed to take the plaque and mount it on a stone and embed it, not in the sidewalk, but right next to the sidewalk. It will be much more visible. And we'd like to do the same thing with the original plaque on the green for the Birmingham Green, telling the history of it. So I'm just asking for permission to put those two plaques on stones and mount them next to the sidewalk, not in the sidewalk.
Any questions for Mr. Walsh? Do I have a motion?
Double-dated.
Made by Amy. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Rob. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Jack.
Jackie.
Okay, 8.5, resolution 81425-1. Move to adopt resolution 81425-1 regarding the assistance agreement for assessment activities at partial IP 835 on Caroline Street in the amount of $200,000. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by George, is there a second?
Second, Amy.
Second, Amy. Any discussion? Roger, you want to talk about this?
So, this is a initiative from DEEP, which is the, they have a program called CERCLA, which is a program to try to find site reuses of brownfield sites. And O'Sullivan's Island is still categorized as a brownfield site, but safe for passive recreation. So this is a grant which is to essentially assess the current remediation options to make it a much safer site for the public. It's $200,000 for the parcel that is owned by the city, which is parcel 835.
Okay, any questions? Okay, we had a motion, we had a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.6, resolution 81425-2. Move to adopt resolution 81425-2 regarding DEEP CERCLA round two grant in the amount of $156,000. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Made by George, is there a second? Second by Robin. Any discussion? Good, Roger.
This is kind of one of those things you don't expect to happen. At the same time, we applied to DECD and DEEP for the same purpose, and we got both of them approved. So we've got essentially a double amount. And this one also includes the parcel 836, which is a parcel owned by the state. So it's a chance to essentially assess remediation activity on the whole of both Hogs Island and O'Sullivan's Island.
Here we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.7, resolution 81425-3. Move to adopt resolution 81425-3 to direct the City of Derby to enter into an agreement with the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments to administer the two grants authorized in resolution 81425-1 and 81425-2. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Made by George, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Let's see. 8.8, use of fund balance to purchase the new fire marshal vehicle. Mr. Hall?
Oh, this is Brian Hall. I'm the finance director for the City of Derby. Yeah, so last year, the The fire marshal's truck was in an accident. It was totaled. We received a check about $47,000, $47,500, as part of the insurance claim. However, you know, per proper accounting, that money was recognized in last fiscal year. It obviously flowed through to the general fund and improved the general fund balance. So what the ask is here is that rather than to try to, you know, figure out a way to get this budget and use our working balance up so early in the year, I'm asking for permission to use the $67,000 in general fund balance to fund this purchase of this vehicle. I will work with the boat over the year to try to figure out a way to cover this with either the working balance or some other savings. However, we do want to purchase the vehicle, and I want to make sure, worst comes to worst, we have the funds available. I'll just talk a little bit, because it's on the same topic, about you know, the bid waiver. We've been looking at a lot of different vehicles. You know, as the new year comes up, you try to grab one in the old year. It's cheaper, but they go quickly. And you know, Brian, our new fire marshal, has been looking diligently. He has got many quotes, which were supplied. You know, that'll get us the vehicle. Then there's obviously you have to equip the vehicle and do that. So that's some of the additional funds that we're looking at that gets us up to the $67,000. Does anyone have any questions about this particular?
Any questions from Brian?
So the 67 includes the equipment also.
Yeah, it does include the estimate for the equipment as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, so do I have a motion to authorize the use of up to $67,000 for the new fire marshal vehicle?
So move, Ron.
Made by Ron. Is there a second?
Sarah.
Second, Sarah. Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.9, bid waiver, fire marshal vehicle. Discussion and possible action on a bid waiver for the new fire marshal vehicle. Mr. Hall, I mean, he basically just told you.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, we've got some different bids. You know, the best one looks like the Shakers Family Ford bid at $47,000. That would be the preferred choice at this point. So we're asking for a bid waiver for that. I think if we were to go to an RFP, we'd be looking at a 2026 model that's going to cost significantly more. So I think it makes the most sense to go down this path.
And we received the check from the old vehicle for like 47.
Yeah, correct. Last year we got the 47,500 from the old vehicle. So really, you know, we're only talking about an additional 19,000 to get this new vehicle.
All right. Any questions? Do I have a motion? Made by Rob. Is there a second?
Second, Ron.
Second, Amy. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Just a quick question, Mayor. Are there, just because I'm not sure, are any of these dealers like on the state bid list? I'm not even sure if any of these would be on a state bid list.
We researched it a little bit. We couldn't find any of them. I'm not sure if it's just because it's, you know, a little uncommon for these dealers to be on there or what have you, but not that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for providing multiple bids.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.10, bid waiver, public works tractor and sidearm mower. Discussion and possible action on a bid waiver for a new public works tractor and sidearm mower. Right.
So, yep, I'll speak to this one a little bit too. The sidearm mower is obviously broken. It's 30 years old. It's not worth continuing to invest in it. The director of public works has done a great job of doing some research. At one point, we had thought we had located a lightly used option that would have been a little bit cheaper than what we're talking about today. However, after going and looking at the vehicle, it was just too large. I mean, Derby's a little unique in that our size, and so this really requires a specific size tractor and mower attachment. So unfortunately, that wasn't going to be an option. He continued to look for some more options. We found one that at Tri-County. Fortunately, they had ordered this over a year ago. And again, I think because of the uniqueness of the vehicle, was unable to sell it and were more or less getting it pretty much for the exact same cost that would have if we ordered it from John Deere. The difference being, if you order from John Deere, it's going to take 9 months. This particular piece of equipment costs almost $30,000 a month to rent. And grass is growing, weeds are growing. We need to address this as quickly as possible. And if it is going to be delayed for some kind of RFP process, likely it's going to cost significantly more just because of that rental cost that we're going to have to invest in order to get this done in the meantime.
And I will say too that this mower that we're looking to get, our old mower, the arm hung off the side, so it made it wider when driving on the streets and stuff. This new mower, the arm goes behind the machine, so he'll be able to get to more areas easier than the old mower too.
Yeah, I'll also mention that this is going to be funded out of the Public Works budget, likely from the town aid money. We've got some additional town aid money from the state, so that's going to help partially fund it. Had we gone down the route of our capital planning, which would have, also made sense, we would have had to use the entire amount of budget for capital plan and then some in order to just on this one piece of equipment, which would have left nothing for anyone else for the entire year. So we were fortunate that we did get some extra money and Mike was able to figure out a way to fit this into his existing budget.
Any questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by second. George. Second by Ron. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye, Sarah.
You oppose?
Yes.
Okay.
I wish there were some quotes available, but thank you.
Okay, no problem. All right, motion carries. Thank you, Brian. Number 9, old business, 9.1, solar batteries at the transfer station, letter of authorization, discussion and possible action. Go ahead, Roger.
Thanks, Mark. As you know, this was an RFP that went out a couple of months ago, and we only had the one bid from the company called Green Derby LLC. And that's the group that actually has installed and operates the existing solar array on the transfer station. The bid process now is that we have to give them authority, which is a letter of authorization, to engage with United Illuminating to figure out what the technical issues are to connect the batteries to the UI main grid. So they can't do that until they have the letter of authorization from the board.
Attorney Bertola did look at the letter for the authorization and has approved it.
Yeah, corporate counsel reviewed it and approved it as it.
Any questions? Do I have a motion?
So move.
Made by George. Is there a second?
Second
by Robin. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Before you vote, I assume that motion is to approve the letter that's in the packet and authorize the mayor to sign it?
Yes, sir.
That's what I thought I heard. Thank you.
Correct.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Number 10, executive session, City of Derby versus 28 Colony Street, LLC, 253 Roosevelt Drive, pending litigation. I need a motion to go into executive session and invite Attorney Testa and Linda Fusco.
So moved.
Made by Ron, is there a second?
Second, Sarah.
Second, Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The time is now 8:00.
Okay, so I'm going to pause the recording and put the folks that are not on the board in the waiting room, and then we'll put you back in when time comes back.
Night, Brian.
Night, Chief.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back. It's 8:07. I need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved, Sarah.
Made by George, second by Sarah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 11. Regular session action from executive session. A discussion of possible action on the following matters: City of Derby versus 29 Colony Street LLC, 253 Roosevelt Drive, pending litigation.
I'd like to make a motion to authorize Corporation Counsel to settle the matter as discussed in executive session.
Motion made by George. Is there a second?
Second, Ron.
Second, Ron. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 12, Ron.
Motion to adjourn at 8:07.
All right. Is there a second? Second by Rob. All in favor?
Aye.
Great meeting tonight, guys. Great meeting.
Good job. Yep.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out online on the Zoom meeting.